Greetings, everyone. This is a Sound Health Option Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy, and Sherry Edwards is still out on tour. Always makes me chuckle because it sounds like a band. But she'll be joining us again soon. I will remind everybody, because this is going to be one of those shows with our guest, Anthony Chiarillo, talking about the aging experience. Aging happens. I'm telling you, it happens. We can pretend, but we all age. And it's nice to do it with information. Very kindred to, you know, Sherry's work at Sound Health Options with looking at our taking our care of our own health. This is really about becoming educated and knowing more about taking care of yourself on all levels as we age. And I'm here to testify, we age. But before we get to that, I'll remind everybody there's going to be information in the show that you're going to share with your friends and or listen to again, because there's a lot here, that you can go to about 10 to 15 minutes after we end the show. You can go to soundhealthoptions.com, click on the radio tab, and then click on the Blog Talk Radio archive, and there'll be a player there. And the last five shows will be there, including this one. And you can also go to iTunes or the podcast aggregator app of your choice and search for Sherry Edwards, and you'll see upwards of, I don't know if we're at 550 yet, but we're closing in on 550 shows. And you'll see this show there. Those take a little longer, but the great thing I like about like an app, let's say like Stitcher, that works on all platforms and on the web, is that it's easy to share the show with others so that you listen to it and you can go, oh, so-and-so would want to listen to this because there's a lot of information. And it's a great way to listen to things. And I will also, as always, advocate that people go to blogtalkradio.com, sign up for a free account. They don't spam you. They don't annoy you. They don't really contact you much. And what you can do is sign up for a free account and then follow, again, search for Sherry Edwards, and then follow us. And then you'll get announcements and bulletins about the show and up and coming shows. And there's a lot of good audio being done at Blog Talk Radio. There's a lot of shows to listen to, and it's free until you want to do your own show, until you get tired of hearing me talk and think, I want to talk about that. Then you start a show. So, join Blog Talk Radio. And plus, it gives us kind of points. It moves us up the ranking. We already have shows that are on the landing page, the homepage, event shows. But it's always good for us to have more followers. Okay, and now I have my environmental announcement for the Sunday show. This is the good news. I'm trying to go with the good news. This is from EcoWatch, a good group filled with, you know, interesting information on both directions, good and bad. Today I'm talking about one that I think is kind of, you know, jolly. Bad news, the head of the article, title of the article, Bad News for Big Oil. Electric vehicle sales to surpass gas guzzlers by 2038. Now, I know that seems like a long time off, 16 years. Not really. I remember the 80s. So not really. And it just is a trend that we see happening in spite of what our administration is trying to do with pro-oil, pro-coil, coal, well, particularly pro-oil, pro-petroleum, that there's a trend worldwide, not just here in the United States, but worldwide going toward electric vehicles. Reduction in pollution, increased sustainability, make solar power, rinse and repeat. And it's amazing things. And the first article of this, despite the Koch brothers' best efforts, it looks like gas cars are on their way out. Sales of electric vehicles will surpass those internal combustion engines by 2038. The new analysis has found. Bloomberg New Energy Finance projects that electric cars will outsell fossil-powered fuel vehicles within two decades as battery prices plunge. And that's one of the projects that Elon Musk is working on. Is he has the largest, one of the largest plants, manufacturing plants in the United States in Nevada, making batteries. It's a solar-powered plant. and he's producing batteries, which means it's going to bring the price down and improve the performance, because that's his thing, being a tech guy, is always improving performance, improving quality of, you know, how many miles you can get off of a battery. So that's very exciting. I think that's really cool. You know, I live in a part of California where I see a lot of electric vehicles, and it's an amazing thing, you know, not going to a gas station. Wow. Plug it in at home with your solar panels. It's an amazing thing. All right, so now there are almost 40 million people aged 65 plus in the United States. America's 50 and older population will reach 100 million this year. Anthony Chiarello is a passionate advocate for these caregivers and seniors, helping them lead a quality of life through a platform of educated aging, physically, emotionally, and financially. Anthony Chiarello is the verywell.com expert in senior care on the executive board of CCAL, the Consumer Consortium for Person-Centered Living, and a member work group co-chair of the Dementia Action Alliance. He knows the ins and outs of healthcare delivery. Anthony shares his knowledge with consumers in many ways. His site, theagingexperience.com, and corresponding video blogs help consumers understand the healthcare system while importing ways to live a quality life. Anthony joins us today to talk about the aging experience in two information-filled events on aging, the Caregivers Summit and the Caregiver Smile Cruise. Anthony, would you please remind our audience what your journey was from rock and roll and TV production to your strong passion for healthcare with a focus on elder care? How did you get here?
Yeah, we all have our journeys, right? So I'm now in Charlotte, North Carolina, or outside of Charlotte, and I was from Philadelphia. And I was in broadcasting as a producer, a sports producer, and in radio, and realized unless I wanted to go out to Bemidji or somewhere, I was probably not going to, you know, be very successful in broadcasting. And so my journey went into medical publishing, and that wound up getting me a job at a hospital as a director of corporate communications. And I guess they were putting the things together of, okay, he has some media background, now he can write, he knows how to deal with physicians. So that's how I got the healthcare part. And then at night, I was truly a full-time musician playing, you know, semi-professionally casinos in Atlantic City and whatnot. And really, that's why I didn't go out of town for broadcasting, because the music was more compelling at the time. Of course, when you're, you know, 19 and 20, that's probably logical. But after I got out of bands and nightclub work, I was trying to figure out, well, what am I going to do with this talent? And I had a guy who was working for me at the hospital who was actually a juggler. He juggled things.
Wow.
And he said, you should go check out these senior communities. There's, you know, so many of them, and they would love the entertainment. And so when I left Philadelphia, I was literally doing more than 100 shows a year. And what I tell people is that, you know, unlike the band where I was wearing an instrument and progressed from being the bass player who sang backup vocals to becoming the lead vocalist who happened to play bass, I forsaked all the instruments and just used backing tracks so that I can actually interact with the seniors. And that made me a better performer. And it also made me a better speaker when I go out and speak professionally. So that's how the journey kind of came full circle. And now, I rebranded a couple of years ago now from a couple companies, from Fast Forward Consulting, that was healthcare consulting, and Anthony Song, which was, you know, the speaking and singing part, to what I call now the aging experience. And it basically incorporates all of that together.
So I had known we'd talked to you before, and I hadn't really gotten until this very moment that really you went into elder performing as a gig, as a you know, as a good gig, and I mean this in a good way, not a, you know, and then you kind of fell in love with the industry in a certain way, you started to really see that your background led you to, you know, really, as particularly, I think when you started to engage, probably you started to go, oh, this is I actually like this audience and I have empathy with them. It's especially with your background from having been in healthcare already. Am I reading that right?
No, you're reading that absolutely correct. Because, you know, again, yeah, at that time, you know, having two jobs, with the second one bringing pretty decent income, that snuck up on you. Yeah, it was part of my living. But as I tell people, after 100 performances or so a year, you realize that, you're making a difference. But the seniors are also making a huge difference in your life. And I can indulge you with one story that I may have told you the last time, but I think it's worth repeating, kind of where, you know, because elder care probably doesn't pay as much as hospital care or being a health in that kind of vein. And so, you know, every time I waver or have wavered in the past on my mission, I go back to this story that basically says, now this is what you need to be doing. This is what you were supposed to be doing. And I call it the story of Esther, and I use it in my keynotes. But Esther, when I moved to the Carolinas and was just starting out as a consultant, I was still doing a lot of singing. And I went up to an assisted living facility in Hickory, North Carolina. And there was a woman named Esther there. And she became what I call my designated heckler. You know, she would, you know, I have crazy, you know, every month I do a different program, literally a different program. And it's based on, you know, things I've researched that happened during that month. But some of them are obvious, like, oh, it's Memorial Day or it's the 4th of July this month. But then I'll do a song in November, Pennies from Heaven. And, you know, they'll ask, well, what's that have to do with November? I said, well, it's National Accountants Day. And, you know, ba-doom-pa. And so she would roll her eyes but you know, she got it and she played along. And so, you know, we became pretty fast friends. And so one time when I was going up there, the activity director said, can you go visit Esther? She's in the hospital, you know, after your performance. So I go and didn't think much of it. And as we're driving over, the activity director said, oh, she had a heart attack and almost passed, and they had to revive her basically. And she's in the coronary care unit. I said, okay. And she wants me, why? And so I go there and her daughter's there and Esther starts flirting with me mercilessly, much to the embarrassment of her daughter. But Esther wants me there for one reason, and she wants me to sing her a song. And it's a song called Because He Lives. It's a beautiful song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Only one problem with that is I didn't know it. And I had to remind Esther where I'm from. You know, I said, Esther, you know, I didn't use my yo, I'm Philly voice, but you know, I'm from Philadelphia. And I said, you know, I joked that when I come downstairs in the morning, we have a picture of the Lord on one wall and a picture of Frank Sinatra on the other. Hmm. And we bow to Frank every morning. And I sing those types of songs. I said, I'm in the Bible Belt. You must have 100 other people who could do these songs down here. And, you know, we went back and forth and she wanted that song. And so eventually I just sang Unforgettable because that's what she was. But I said, I'm going to learn this song for you. So I went back and I have a little studio in the house and I mixed together this Because He Lives. I found some orchestration for it. I added to it with my own guitars and background vocals and lead vocal and all that. Put a little 3.5 minute song together and sent it to her. She was back at the assisted living facility. And I thought really all was good with the world. And then I got a call from activity director and she said that, you know, Esther was in hospice and I just thought you should know. I said, okay. And then it was, you know, Esther died. And so I don't make it a habit of going to funerals of residents, but, you know, it could be a full-time occupation. It's just, you know, part of the business of aging, right? And something called me to go to Esther's funeral. I don't know why, but I went. And, of course, I go there, and on the program for the ceremony, of course, is the song Because He Lives. I walk in, and the daughter came up to me, and she started crying. And she said, and others told me separately, that she hadn't cried until they saw me. So you can imagine, I have no clue what she's coming out of her mouth next. And essentially what she said, well, on the last day of mom's life, we started playing that CD with your song on it over and over and over again. And eventually the daughter knelt down next to Esther and started singing with me into Esther's ear and telling her to let go. And Esther died that day. And, you know, I tell people, I talk a lot in my presentations about, you know, what the things I've learned from elders. And one of the things is having, you know, purpose in life. Is something that is important. And, you know, I can't think of a more profound purpose than what I have found in, you know, touching seniors. I mean, I have more of those stories than I can recall. And I couldn't tell you in my healthcare consulting business that I have such touching stories or actually know the end user that's going to be impacted by what I do. And when you have that profound experience, over and over again to somewhat lesser degrees, but than Esther will probably ever be. But, you know, it sort of, you know, solidifies that mission.
Well, I'll use a new term, the tipping point, it seems like, in a very positive way of, you know, it gave me chills again. I remembered the story as you talked about Esther. But, I mean, it gave me chills again because it's such a powerful thing as we exit out for somebody to, you know, want your song playing in their ears and to help them cross over. That's, you know, that actually reverts back to the sort of a question I would toss to us is there are so many cultures, particularly more indigenous cultures, where they really honor the death experience. Whereas in our culture, there seems to be the like, ooh, don't talk about it. Ooh, it's scary and that whole thing. And it is scary, but it's so much more engaging, like your song or, you know, ceremonies where they actually honor the death. It's so moving and it's so beneficial for everybody.
Yeah. And you're right. I'm putting together what I call a caregiver smile summit. Caregiver smile is kind of my go-to with things I'm doing, and I know we're going to talk about a cruise a little bit later. But and during the summit, you know, one of the first people I interviewed was somebody, Dr. Maria Zayas, who talked about consciously aging and how you know it's different than just entering with purpose. It's really understanding the moment you're in, and the sage, you know, how elders evolve into these sages that. And she specifically said other cultures kind of revere, and we don't necessarily do that in our cultures. Though I will say that I think millennials are taking up the mantle a little bit better than say my boomer friends and I in how we relate to elders. And of course with just out of necessity with some co-housing where multi generations are living together. You know, out of need, I think some of that may be tipping a little bit, but, you know, that then leads to all kinds of discussions around, you know, death and dying and how spiritual and beautiful a thing it can be. So, you know, I was, I'm a caregiver to my mom. I probably when the last time we spoke, and she died last year, last June. So, June of 2016. And, you know, I can't recall the 3 weeks she was in the hospital, but I probably tell you every bit of the 55 hours she was in hospice. And it was just spiritual. I mean, from the volunteers who helped us out to a choir that came in and sang to me singing to her to, you know, my son visiting unexpectedly. I mean, you just go down the list and the setting we were in a residential hospice. And, you know, people just, you know, you don't equate kind of the death experience with something that can be beautiful and spiritual. I mean, certainly we don't, none of us want to die, but it's inevitable. And, you know, in this summit that I'm having, I'm actually looking at this issue in three different slices. So first of all, I have attorneys addressing and other experts who are, you know, experts in advanced directives and medical power of attorney and all that, and why it's important to have these in place. And that's just not if you're an elder. It's pretty much any point in your life. You know, God forbid you go out and get hit by a car, and you know you want your wishes spelled out. So that's kind of one slice of it. But I also have somebody who's, from a corporation down here that runs the Charlotte Hospice, and it was actually the residential hospice that my mom passed in, to talk about, what is hospice? What is palliative care? When's the right time to use it? But I also have another gentleman, a reverend, who works for an organization called the CODA Alliance, and they have something called the Go Wish game. And essentially they're playing cards, and you pick a card and it spells out a scenario of end of life. And then you choose whether you strongly agree, somewhat agree, or don't agree at all. And it's in essence, in a very non-threatening way, you spelled out your wishes of how you may want to pass, which could then inform the documents that you might then go put together. So it is a nuanced conversation, but it is one that very few people are having.
Well, and I think that I want to get back to the Caregivers Summit, because I read about that, and I think that's such a great thing. I think we really need to be engaging this conversation now. And I'm in the boomer. I'm an older boomer. I'm a mid boomer. I'm in my mid 60s. And I'm really surprised in a certain way when I hear you say that the millennials, you think, so your view from being in the field is that you think the millennials are more engaged with the elders than the boomers, or is the boomers, this is not argumentative, this is totally off the top of my head.
Yeah.
You're observing that the boomers are more resistant to the elder crowd than the millennials are? The millennials are more accepting?
I don't know if it's resistance necessary, but let me just even give you an example of seniors relating to other seniors. So there's living arrangements called continuing care retirement communities, and they have all levels of care. So you can go in an independent living and then progress to assisted and then nursing care if you need it. And, many times the people who are in independent living don't want anything to do. They won't volunteer. They won't go visit. Now, that's a broad statement, but I would say the majority, and I've talked to enough activity directors and others to know, they won't necessarily go wandering into those other parts for what maybe it's just too close to home. And I think boomers come into a lot of this because it's a crisis situation. And I think millennials have, the aspect of being able to view this with a different lens, and being able to see things that maybe we don't see. And so, first of all, 25% of millennials are actually family caregivers. And that's from an AARP National Alliance for Caregiving study from, I guess, maybe a year and a half ago. And it was shocking, I think, to everybody who read it. That's one perspective to keep, but you're also seeing some innovative things that are going on in senior communities around the world, where, for example, a young student will be given a room in an assisted living rent-free in exchange for them, whatever, if they're a musician, entertaining the residents, or if they're an artist, maybe doing an art class or whatever. And so, I'm not saying this is a tipping point of hundreds of thousands of people are doing this, but it is a sign that I believe that some of the younger folks are more in tune to this than others. And again, I think for most of us, if we're not in the field, aging is still a crisis situation, and we don't deal with mom or dad until something happens. And that's why a lot of the things I'm doing are trying to get people at a 50,000 foot level to look at all these issues a little bit sooner. And it's very hard to do that. And I've been at this for, 15, 16 years, just trying to get people to what I call prepare for aging sooner in life. And, when we have a view of aging, and I even have an ageism expert on my summit as well. Unless we change the views around that, we're not going to want to embrace the conversations that happen around it.
Yeah. Well, even in my world of speaking into a mic for a living, I also run and produce shows for other people. The great thing is, I've always said, is, nobody knew what Paul Harvey looked like. So nobody ever knew, how old he ever was. because nobody had any relationship to that, because your voice is, people are surprised when they meet me in person because they don't think I'm as old as I am by my voice. Whereas if people see me speaking, they're like, oh, you're older than I thought you were. Well, yes, I am. And what's your point? There's that. But I mean, there really is that ageism thing is a thing. Everybody's, you know, just 10 minutes past the millennial. And there's very much that pumped youth culture. So I want to ask you one question, and then I want to get back to the caregiver summit. I heard you talk about a thing that, you know, eight points you've learned from elders. Can you give us that?
Let me see if I remember them all. I sometimes trip over them. But the first, obviously, is purpose, which I think I covered. I do have a story of another resident in a nursing home who basically was president of the residence council and did all kind of things. And when I interviewed her, and this is an 87-year-old woman, I think, at the time, she said, I pray to God every day for what my purpose is. And here was a woman who had true purpose. And, you know, I tell our family caregivers that, you know, caregiving, there could be no higher purpose, but you should view it that way. But caregiving, you know, you won't be a caregiver forever, and it takes some adjusting. Another topic actually we'll cover. So purpose is one. Second one is, these are the no-brainers that we hear in society every day. But basically, you know, exercising and keeping yourself in shape. Because I've been in enough nursing homes where people got there not because age caught up with them, but because they didn't keep up with themselves. I do believe, I mean, genetics does play something, getting hit by a bus and all those scenarios do happen. But I think how we take care of ourselves when we're younger is certainly going to impact how we age. And again, all my stories come from seniors in nursing homes that most people associate with death and dying. And so, you know, they have found a way to be vibrant in these communities. So having a sense of humor. You know, I joke that some senior communities I go in that are very high end, and, you know, I'll give everything I got and I'll get the polite master's golf clap. And they're the ones who probably like piano players and string sections more so than, pennies from heaven because it's National Accountants Day. So I like crowds, you know, that really have a sense of humor. And, you know, there's enough studies out there that show when you have a sense of humor and when you laugh heartily, and there's something called laughter yoga out there, and it activates a lot of the same types of things that happen when you're exercising. So certainly that's something. I talk about lifelong learning and, you know, the need to be able to always remain curious, I think, is the biggest point I make around that. And I talk about there's a protest group in Seattle. They're called the Raging Grannies, and they protest topical things of the day, like, you know, nuclear submarines off the coast of Seattle, and some of them have been arrested and all kind of great stuff. But their shtick is parody songs, crazy Minnie Pearl. See if any of your listeners know what that is. Minnie Pearl hats with price tags on them, and then they do parody lyrics. But the beauty is they have assisted living. People in assisted living and nursing homes are helping them with them. They may not be able to go out and protest, but they're actively participating because they're engaged in wanting to learn about the issues and to do something about that. And I wouldn't doubt that that's going to happen more and more in our society just because of the times we're living in. Having a great attitude. I mean, that's typical, but I talk about a woman named Jean in my book and in my speeches, who went into a skilled nursing facility looking at the glass, you know, half full, not empty, and why, you know, she made the most of her experience there. She was a mild-mannered housewife, widowed young, raised her kids, and that was her life. And when she got to this place, she participated in all the activities, and I think her life was extended, and the end of her life was defined in a way that had true meaning and legacy for her. So having a great attitude is certainly another one. Social connectedness, you can't say enough about it. And there's been lots of studies around this, but, you know, we're social people, and to pull people into isolation as they age, which happens a lot, which is why we really need to be mindful of people who are living alone, that, you know, we, we embrace social networks and friendships and all these types of things. And, you know, there's actually studies that show how that actually contributes to a longer life and a higher quality of life. And then the last two are, the one I talk about the most, the last one's kind of a just unconditional love. And I talk about a relationship I had with one of the residents in a continuing care retirement community who was blind and an amputee. And I make the point of mentioning she was African-American and I was white, and during a time of racial, you know, kind of upheaval in the Philadelphia area. And you know, I would spend after every performance just sitting on the foot of her bed and her and I talking, you know, having these deep conversations. And again, it was all about, you know, we didn't see color. We just saw unconditional love. But the one I think that I dwell on in my programs is this idea of gratitude. And the seniors I, you know, hang around to have a meaningful life seem to be grateful. No matter what their circumstances, they are grateful. And I talk about the fact that, you know, the U.S. is one of the most depressed, not financially, but depressed as in a condition, a nation in the world. And one of our most you know, highly prescribed medications are antidepressants. And yet, if you go to a country like Nigeria, the rate of depression is like 0.9%. And, you know, because these people are grateful for every little thing they have. And they say that we Americans, and I guess other Western countries, we indulge in existentialist despair.
Wow.
Existentialist despair, where, you know, the hotshot young millennial lawyer on Wall Street who didn't make partners soon enough is despairing and depressed and because he didn't, you know, didn't make partner. You know, it's about putting things in perspective. So, you know, that's the one that gets me the most, you know, all the time, is just how grateful a lot of these folks are, no matter what their circumstance.
Well, gratitude is so powerful that, you know, two of the things that pop up, one, I want to remind people of Norman Cousins' Laughter is the Best Medicine, is really a great book, fits right into what you're talking about the laughter and, you know, humor is so very powerful. And there's so much good research really looking at humor and laughter as being a powerful, beneficial thing to participate with and or have. And then that and gratitude. Yeah, gratitude in all my research is, you know, every day trying to be grateful, you know, no matter what's going on. Don't read the newspapers. That's all they'll say about that. You know, there's gratitude to be had every day. And sometimes, in, you know, I hear particularly in the millennial crowd, the first world problems of, you know, I couldn't get the iPhone I wanted, the wrong color. And I'm thinking, really? Really? You know, this is going to make you depressed? So really,
of course,
you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And of course, you know, our kids who are Gen Xers and millennials will talk to us about our first world issues if we talk about something that, you know, we went and did, or some crazy party that somebody had, and we'll talk about her. And they'll just kind of, you know, raise their eyebrows and roll their eyes and, you know, say, yeah, first world problems.
So now I want to talk a little bit more about the summit, and then I want to move into talking about the caregivers cruise, which I think is such an amazing idea. When is the summit coming out? How do we find out more about it?
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
So the Caregiver Summit, the website is caregiversummit.org. And it's not live yet, so you'll get a little, you know, temporary page. But I would imagine within the next week or so that, you know, certainly third week in July, maybe the it won't go till August, but it should be live in the next few weeks. So basically it's a 5-day event, but think of it as a Netflix release. So we're not going to actually drop the videos until October 30th. And we have 5 different days of information with 8 to 10 videos of experts on all aspects of caregiving. So what I'm doing now, I'm in the midst of taping literally this week, 11 interviews, next week's 23 interviews. And eventually I'll have all 55 or so interviews done with experts in aging and health. And I'll tell you a little bit about who some of those are. So basically, if you purchase it now, you're going to get a unique link, and you'll come back and we'll send reminders to this landing page on October 30th. And if you bought all access to the summit, you will have all the material for all 5 days readily available. You'll see videos. You'll be able to read about our experts, and every expert's giving some kind of giveaway, whether it's a checklist, white paper, you know, whatever, to their, you know, that goes along with their talks. And you can also, and that's $79, and you can also buy access to any one day for $25, and that gives you access for 48 hours. So we're trying to obviously show the value of buying a full week, because we think 55 experts and all the information we're sharing is kind of, you know, well worth the price. So, now I'll give you a few names. One of the most recognizable names, maybe to people who are working dementia care, is a woman named Tipa Snow, who's actually a colleague and a friend of mine on the Dementia Action Alliance. And she travels the country talking about, you know, techniques for, you know, when a person has dementia, and how to work with them and still, you know, be able to have a good life on both sides of the equation. But she's very interactive and just very enjoyable. And she'll talk about her approach to care. But, you know, we're kind of going to start the day, the first day, with this idea. I'm calling it, you might be a caregiver if. And so, you know, so I'm setting the stage with a woman, Dr. Maria Zayas, who's going to be talking about conscious aging and, you know, talking about entering into aging with conscious intention. It's a little up there, but I kind of get it and what she's talking about. We had a great interview. But then we'll go into really nuts and bolts, like, you know, legal strategies to protect yourself and retirement income planning from an economist's viewpoint, frauds and schemes, what's the latest, how to avoid. Here's an interesting take on, you know, elder abuse from the standpoint of guardianship. You know, I didn't realize what an issue it was. And then I found Catherine Falk, and Catherine Falk is the daughter of Peter Falk, who was Columbo. And she, very famously at the time, went through, hell, you know, trying to get to visit Peter Falk at the end of his life. And she said, no matter what your advanced directives and power of attorney, say, a judge is going to be more sympathetic to a spouse who basically has kind of control of the person than the person who has a legal document saying that it says otherwise. And she's gone around the country talking about something called the Peter Falk law that she's trying to pass. And, you know, really, until I investigated this a little bit more, I really wasn't sure. I was just wanting somebody to talk about elder abuse in the general sense, you know, self-neglect, physical, sexual, financial. But this guardianship thing has, you know, a little bit of a nuance to it. So, you know, and this is just day one. We're going to talk about aging in place, designing your home for aging in place, downsizing and moving. And we'll talk about the role of senior move managers. It's a growing profession. And what do they do? Have somebody talking about reverse mortgages, aging in place when living alone. And so you get the sense that over the course of this day one, if you want to remain in your house, here are some things maybe to start. And then we progress to day two. I call it the caregiving journey. And so we'll start with when mom or dad needs care. I have somebody talking about family dynamics, because we know that that can be tricky, especially if families are not all on the same page. I have somebody talking about what I call having the talk with your aging parents. And that could be anywhere from taking the keys away to you need to downsize, or maybe it's time for assisted living, or, you know, in the reverse for the caregiver, your mom or dad remarried. Now what? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Strategies for long distance caregiving. I have Amy Goyer. Amy Goyer is associated with AARP. You know, a very well-known name. The role of the geriatric care manager. We'll talk about aging in place technology. I found somebody, Wendy Burkhardt, who's the CEO of a company called Silvernest, and they're a roommate matching service. And so if you're considering home sharing, this is yet another nuance to all this. And, you know, we'll talk about what they call naturally occurring retirement communities, where in a lot of urban areas where seniors started to congregate instead of them moving, the services started to grow up around them, cover adult daycare. Again, if you want to stay in the community, stay in your home, how do you get the services to you? And then we'll kind of move up the acuity level on day three, healthcare and aging. How do you choose home healthcare, physician concierge services, telehealth? I have an expert on just talking about what is onset, what is a dementia. I have a dear friend of mine, Robert Bowles, who has early onset Lewy body dementia. He'll talk about what he has done to overcome and the advocacy that he's been able to do because of this. We'll talk about dementia-friendly communities, and I have somebody from my Dementia Action Alliance also talking about the work they're doing. And then day four, your health as a caregiver, caregiver stress we're going to talk about, laughter is the best medicine for caregivers, battling caregiver fatigue. We will cover practicing gratitude. I have somebody who's talking about ageism, who was specifically recommended by Next Avenue's influencer on number one influencer on aging, Ashton Applewhite. I have a gentleman, Don Weber. He's the CEO of Logistics Health, and he was featured on a PBS special called Caring for Mom and Dad a few years ago. And essentially his company is a real model in how to change the workplace culture toward caregiving, because that's a whole nother issue we could spend an hour on, about caregiving in the workplace, coming out of the closet with your caregiving, how it can be a career ender. We'll talk about millennial caregivers, and then I actually do have somebody talking about grandparents. I'm calling the session the club sandwich generation, because they're not just the sandwich generation. They're oftentimes caring for multiple generations for whatever circumstance. And the last day is kind of really kind of the more higher acuity, choosing long-term care, paying for long-term care, bullying and senior living, traveling with seniors, activities for seniors beyond bingo. Social media and seniors, advanced directives, that Go Wish game I told you about. What happens after the caregiving is over? I have somebody who specializes in that. And then those eight lessons I told you about, I'm going to actually close the summit with those eight lessons, because I think it's a great bookmark to how we've begun with consciously aging. So it's quite the agenda, and it's been quite the undertaking. I'm just looking at my expert list again. Nora Super, who heads the National Association of Area Agencies for Aging, who is basically spearheading how do you implement dementia-friendly initiatives across the country. And she was actually the executive director of the most recent, under Obama, White House conference on aging. So we got some heavy hitters in the lineup, and I'm tickled because we're just starting the interviews and they're going smashingly.
What a great gathering. And wanted to, I don't know, maybe it's because I am a boomer, or just because I've always thought this way, I can't tell. What a great gathering of people talking about a subject that, and particularly with your lean toward humor and good conversation, what an amazing idea.
Yes.
Where I have to drop the mic and walk away. It's like, what an amazing idea. We're actually going to talk about all this. It's like radical.
Microphone drop.
Yeah, really. I even think about the one you talked about what happens when it's all over. I was the primary caregiver for my mother, who was in an ICU for like 14 days. And I was the guy. And so you go through this amazing event of not only the loss of a parent, but also just that, being in ICU for that long,
mm-hmm.
and being really the primary. And then she dies. I'm happy that she got to go. There's that. And that leads to part of like being with somebody when they die is really an amazing, powerful, emotional experience, but it's really good. Then it's all over. And there you are. Suddenly your life is back. And it's like you come out of this area. I mean, that's a whole show unto itself. That's like an amazing thing. So to hear somebody talking about that, I think is awesome.
Oh yeah. And the first trip I took after mom passed, I think she was on, over my shoulders screaming in my ear. And, all you have to do is say Catholic guilt. And I think a lot of people will know what I'm talking about.
Excuse me. Pardon the snort. Yes.
Snorts
that.
Are good.
Right. Oh, that. Okay. So now I kind of get where now let's talk about the caregiver smile cruise, because I can kind of see how This is another amazing event. He's not paying me to say this, everybody. I'll put the Smile Care Cruise as an incredible event, because you're giving caregivers an opportunity to take have a break in a certain way by being on a cruise, but you're also giving them the opportunity to learn in a venue that's as relaxed as it possibly could be. So talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. And see, the summit, the genesis of the summit was the cruise, because basically on the cruise, I'm covering what we're doing in the summit, except the summit is going in such a deep level and such peeling the onion away to do that. But this is a way to reach, you know, a more limited number of people. But the idea, the summit genesis was the cruise. And the idea was, you know, there are dementia cruises out there, and there are people running very well done cruises that way. And I do have, again, the same gentleman is going to talk about early onset Lewy body diseases on my cruise. But when you see him up close and impersonal, it makes a whole different impact on what he's gone through and how he's overcome it. But we have some dementia components, but it's more, again, that 50,000 foot level. So I say that, you know, and I mean this cruise and the summit could be for almost anybody, because if you're just starting to see the signs in mom and dad, you know, that's one thing. If you're in the middle of it, that's another thing. If the journey's over and you haven't learned the lessons about preparing for your own aging, well, that's a third one. If you're a millennial or a Gen Xer who's one of those caregivers, well, then, you know, this is something that you might want to avail yourself of. And yes, the idea is certainly number one is respite. And, you know, we know a cruise, not everybody can afford a cruise. So we have funding mechanisms in place on our website that people can start campaigns for somebody. But there are certain, you know, group of people that can and may want to. And certainly families, I'm trying to encourage families to come together. Again, especially if families don't, live long distances away and they don't see each other, why not bring mom on a cruise? In fact, one of our friends who's going to come on the cruise is going for the very reason her mother's never been on a cruise. So what a great way to experience something they've never experienced before, but then bring the whole family together. And yeah, you'll wander into our sessions and they won't be as intense as 55 experts. But when we're at port, we won't do as much. But when we're at sea, we'll do a little more. And we'll cover the same types of topics with seven different experts. And it's a relaxing atmosphere to maybe have that conversation and have the family together. You know, if the acuity level of the person who's coming on board with the boomer or, the person, the caregiver, it warrants, then we will in turn make arrangements for being able to take care of them. But really, it's just taking this idea of how do we educate people sooner about these issues so that maybe they can go back. And even if they left the cruise and just went and had an advance directive put together or finished their will, that would be a great start, right? Or to understand that Medicare doesn't pay for your long-term care except in certain circumstances, and that, that 401k you're saving may not just be going to a European vacation, but maybe out of pocket costs for living in an assisted living, and to get that perspective, because again, aging happens in crisis 99% of the time. So if you're fortunate enough to have the information before some other people, maybe you get a head start on preparing. And so again, we'll cover a lot of the same topics just in a much more relaxed setting. If we book 50 cabins, we cruise. If we book 100 cabins, we're full in terms of what the educational space will allow us.
Right. Well, it also seems like an incredible opportunity for people. I mean, the summit sounds very powerful, and I think I'll be taking part of the summit. The cruise sounds really powerful because it's the opportunity to see people, hear, you know, talks about various issues with experts, but then also then have that mixed time where afterwards you're sitting and you're having dinner or breakfast or, you know, on a cruise, God knows you can eat 24 hours a day. But you can,
right.
Sit around and talk with other people about what you just heard about in a more socially relaxed atmosphere. It's not like you're at a conference and it's all rush, rush, rush and hurry. And we've got it, you know, you're actually able to sit down and talk with others about what you just heard, and which really helps engage in the process of thinking about all these things. And like you said, that wonderful thing of, you know, somebody going on a cruise and taking a parent who's never been on a cruise, what an amazing opportunity to go on a cruise. And again, he's not paying me to say this, But I mean, it's really amazing to be able to think of, you know, going and getting some education about it and taking a loved one with you who may hear some things. And, you know, it's just because the whole death and aging and dying thing is such a hard or tricky subject for most people. Anytime you can soften any part of it, I think is a great thing. And this seems like a, you know, what a wonderful way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, thank you for bringing that up, because the whole networking piece is important, because you're going to be networking with people who are in same situations as you are. And, you know, caregiving can be cruel sometimes, and people find out who their friends are and aren't, you know, in work and otherwise. And so forming new social networks and people to lean on is an important part of this. And when you can do it in person, the other thing is you'll have access to all the experts, unlike you would on a summit, where, you know, you're going to see them at dinner and we're going to rotate where we sit and who we sit with, so that, you know, you could be picking brains all week on these topics. And believe me, I have some really distinguished faculty who are going to, you know, cover all kinds of things, just like in the summit. And a lot of my folks are in the summit already, but you know, I have a financial planner. I have the same guy is doing the dementia talk, as I already had mentioned to you, but I have a guy named Walter Coffey. He's the president and CEO of Leading Age Georgia. And you know, he's been in the long-term care field forever, and he knows exactly, you know, if you're shopping for care, whether it's assisted living or skilled nursing, he could tell you the ins and the outs and the nuances and what to look for and all these things. So, you know, when you have a week, 10 days actually with these folks, and all these beautiful ports, then, it's a way to, you know, really learn a lot. Now, the other thing I forgot to mention earlier with this funding idea is that, you know, I'm trying to actually shame, and I will use the word shame, hospitals and healthcare providers into honoring caregivers in some way, you know, having a caregiver recognition where you could surface heroic caregiver stories, almost like CNN heroes, and have a recognition lunch or dinner or something, and give out some awards and prizes, and maybe the most compelling story gets a cruise, you know. So, you know, I if you think about it, hospitals have pretty deep pockets, and for them to be able to send a couple on a cruise, it would be a no-brainer, and the PR and goodwill that they would accrue from that would be immeasurable, as they say.
Well, yeah, and did we mention they'd get PR out of that? I mean, that's like mind-blowing, the amount of, you know, I can already see pictures in the local newspaper here.
Exactly.
You know, that exactly.
Facebook
and the
Live.
Of a great Facebook Live. Oh, no, not Facebook Live. Hopefully not that. But, yeah, I was going to go back to the idea of sitting around at a, you know, table, and that's great that you're going to be mixing up tables, to be able to sit and talk with these people on, again, on a more casual basis is such a great idea, because there is a, you know, you hear something and then you have to process it, think about it, and then you think, oh, I wished I'd thought of that then, but you're actually maybe sitting down and having dinner with these people and having conversations that you wouldn't have the chance to get. And that's so powerful. And as you said, the building, the networking, sitting at a table with people who suddenly realize, oh, I'm not the only one having this. That's really powerful, and to be able to carry that out.
You just gave me a great idea for my summit, which I wasn't thinking of, but I don't have a mechanism for people to submit their questions. So, you know, maybe there's a way to have summit number two after summit number one, maybe in a post survey. So thank you for that idea.
My pleasure. It's free. I'm here all week.
There you go. Call is needed.
Exactly. Well, we're moving close to the end. Are there any, well, I guess I actually should ask you once again, please tell people where they can get information about the summit, tell people where they can get information about the cruise, and then tell people about your own, you know, website, because you have the aging experience. Which is, and your great book, Who Moved My Dentures? That's when we originally interviewed you, was the Who Moved My Dentures, the Caregiver's Guide. You have a lot of great information before you even get to the summit. So please tell us about all that.
That's correct. And thank you. So yeah, theagingexperience.com is the main website. So you'll see what I do. If it's a health provider, you'll see what services I offer to them. If you need me to speak, and I speak to a wide ranging group of folks, everything from caregiving groups and Alzheimer's events to CEOs of hospitals. So I have a wide ranging repertoire, let's say, and I use song in all my presentations. So there's a speaking tab. You can see all my media work, and I'm fortunate enough to be on a local TV show here every month, and I blog for HuffPost 50 and all kinds of things like that. I have some interesting products. I can actually stream concerts out of my home to somebody. If you want to gift a concert to Mabel or Mary or Margie, whatever, tell me a little bit about them. We could make it an intergenerational program, and somebody could go and watch the show, and I could talk to them, and you could tell me a little bit about them, and I could sing songs that they like. So I have a few interesting things on my products page. But if you just put a slash after theagingexperience.com and go to caregiver cruise, you will find everything you need about the cruise, the itinerary, the funding mechanisms we're using, the seminars we're holding, the faculty, everything about the ship, the ports we're going in, the pricing. And of course, we'd love you to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And there's ways to do that as well. And then of course, the Caregiver Summit is caregiversummit.org, caregiversummit.org. We felt we needed a separate URL for that, a separate place, because I hope it's going to be one of many summits that we have on all kinds of interesting topics.
That's great. There's a lot of material there. All right. I think we've come to the end. Otherwise, we're going to start something else. So I will say to everybody, have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Thanks, everybody. And thanks again, Anthony. That was great.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.